Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer of illumination. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts to your world. Strengthen us in love as we listen. Give us eyes to see your abundance and courage to trust your leading. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verses 17 through 22. Listen to God's word. You shall not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. You shall not take a widow's garment in pledge. Remember that you are a slave in Egypt and that the Lord your God redeemed you. For there, therefore, I command you to this. When you reap in your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. Remember that you are a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this. Today's second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Then children were being brought to him in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." As he laid his hands on them and went on his way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
One of the popular service projects that was a part of my life during my campus ministry in college was Saturday morning gleaning with a G, not with a C. Not many college students get up early on Saturday morning to clean. I was not among them. But we could organize a gleaning trip, and people would get out of bed for that. It was while gleaning one Saturday morning in my freshman year that I think I first heard this scripture passage from Deuteronomy that we heard today. It was the piece of scripture that was read at the start of every shift in the farm fields outside of Williamsburg, Virginia. The scripture says, "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow." These are the words we heard before we put on our sun hats and pulled on our work gloves and stepped into what looked to my untrained eye a field that had already been harvested, completely picked over. When we stepped into the tomato rows on that first trip I was on, I looked down and I didn't see enough pops of red on those plants where the leaves are turning brown already to even warrant our group's presence there. There were some smushy burgundy messes in the dirt, the fruit that had fallen from the vine and was now covered with the bugs getting what they could. There were plants at the edge of the row where I could see a few tomatoes that had been swollen and were burst open. There was even some white mold growing on the cracks. You know what that looks like. It didn't seem like it was going to be a very productive day picking tomatoes from the field. But I was very clearly new to the situation. They paired me up with a veteran gleaner who graciously showed me the ropes. This Space Coast, Florida kid had never had more experience in the dirt than dropping a few marigold seeds in the rows or maybe digging in the mulch garden for some petunias with my mother. But getting low to the ground, pushing the leaves out of the way a little bit to see what was underneath, walking slowly and looking carefully. Eventually, I too found some tomatoes, plenty of tomatoes that had been left behind by the conventional harvest of this field. For several hours, my partner from the Episcopal Church and I, the other college students that I came with, and representatives from food banks and emergency pantries, we moved slowly and methodically through the field, gleaning the bright, nourishing food from among the end-of-season leaves, gathering crops that wouldn't be added to the bins that were sold for profit, but would be shared with those who couldn't pay. Maybe the widows and orphans, possibly resident aliens and strangers, very likely seniors on fixed incomes and single moms trying to make ends meet. Don't pick the fields clean, Scripture says. Don't shake every branch that you own until every last olive falls out and gets gathered for your bins. It's not all for you. It's not for you alone. Jesus' words to his disciples, and I imagine anyone who was within earshot, weren't all that different from the commandments in Deuteronomy. This short story of Jesus drawing the children close to him takes place sometime between the transfiguration on the mountaintop and his entrance into Jerusalem on his way to crucifixion. It comes after Jesus has answered an argument among his disciples about who is the greatest, to which he declared that those who become like children are those who enter the kingdom of heaven. Those will be the greatest. It comes after questions and answers about how much is enough forgiveness to offer. It comes after disciples and Pharisees and crowds have been pushing at him, trying to find the boundaries of his law of love, trying to discover who is in and who is out, what it takes to get to the top. Like children, they were testing the limits to see how much is just enough. Perfect timing then, when some in the crowd started to bring children to Jesus, actual children, not childish adults. Some started to bring children to Jesus, and the disciples tried to prevent them. Many of us have been told that this is because children were worthless in ancient times. That was probably an overstatement. Instead, story after story from the Hebrew tradition tells us how desired children were. Even in the infancy narratives of the gospel according to Luke, we hear songs of joy when Elizabeth and Mary are told they will have children. The psalmists sing of the blessing of children. They weren't worthless. They were vulnerable. When Jesus speaks of children or to them or about them, he is, as one New Testament scholar, Amy Jill Levine, puts it, speaking of the vulnerable, the dependent, those who cannot speak for themselves, those who cannot survive on their own. It's not all for you, Jesus is saying. It's not for you alone. The grace you receive, the forgiveness you enjoy, the love in which you delight, the food in your fields, the fruit on the tree, the welcome in your land, the security you seek, the belonging you crave, the dignity you long for. It's not all for just you. The landowner, the vine keeper, the stewards of the field. It's not just for you alone, the adults, the educated, the gatekeepers. In the words of the Belhar Confession, one of our Presbyterian Church statements of faith, God in a world full of injustice and enmity is in a special way the God of the destitute, the poor, and the wronged. The hungry and lonely, the parentless and the stranger, the vulnerable and the voiceless, God is, in a special way, their God. And to be children of this God, followers of this Jesus, our attention must be focused in a special way toward them as well. The work of the church must be turned in their direction. As Anglican Archbishop William Temple said in the mid-20th century, the church is the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of non-members. It's not all for just us. This beloved community, this spirit-filled worship, these blessings we receive, this love we know, the care we expect, the protection we hope for, it's not for us alone. The grace we celebrate, the resources we share, the faith we claim, this faith that claims us, it's not for us to cling to and hold back from the world, to collect or store away. Instead, our call is to do the exact opposite. It's a call to open the storehouses, open the doors, open our hearts and homes to all. It's an interesting idea to ponder right now in the life of this particular congregation. How does and how will our land and building get used to serve not just our own needs, but the needs and hungers of those who are disenfranchised, for the justice and welcome of the most vulnerable? Where do we and how will we care for those who are not just our children by familial relationships, but by the Spirit of God who draws us together? What will help us make decisions that put those who God cares for in a special way in the very center of our life and work? Friends, this spiritual food on which we feed, along with the food that strengthens our body, the fruit of the Spirit that nourishes our soul, along with the fruit that gives nutrients to our systems, the welcome and love and grace that fills our lives, along with the stability that grounds us through security of resources, it's not all for us. It's not for us alone. Instead, it is what sends us out as disciples of Jesus to serve the most vulnerable. How will we share it with all for whom God cares? Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.